So let's look at some of the word. In Philippians, I wanted to look at something here. You know, because it is God's desire that we come to a knowledge of the truth, that it's more than just salvation. And knowing that once you're saved, you're a son and daughter of God, and that when Jesus Christ returns, you will be gathered together. You're going to live in all eternity and share in Jesus Christ's kingdom. You rule with Him. We rule with Him. We're not subjects in a kingdom for eternity. We share His rulership. We rule with Him. That's the position, by God's grace, that the church has throughout all eternity. You know, we have that joy to look forward to. You know, we will not be, you know, judged by our works or because of our works. We will be judged in Christ as righteous then, just as we are judged in Christ as righteous now. And in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians has some great things in it. Because, well, all the Word has great things in it. But Philippians is one of these great, great church epistles. Because it speaks of some very wonderful things that we're to seek to do. In chapter 1, it says in verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. You know, as sons of God, you know, God desires for us to walk in His light, right? Walk in light. We're children of light, so we're to walk in the light. You know, we're to endeavor to do that. We're not to walk under the law. That's why it doesn't say to walk under the law. It says to walk in light, as He is light. Walk in His light. Walk in the light of what He has provided for you. And that's what will enable you to be without offense till the day of Christ, till Christ returns. You know, we're not under the law. It says in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. This is God's desire. You know, it says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are now made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, just like it says now, beloved, in 1 John 3, we are the sons of God. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We have been made that. You know, you cannot make yourself righteous. And that's one of the key issues in Philippians that it addresses. It's not about your righteousness. It's about you now seeing that you are righteous, and now God's desire is that you are filled with the fruits of that righteousness. You know, what does it mean to be righteous before God? You know, think about that for a second. What does it mean to be righteous before God? He looks at you and you're righteous. You cannot be accused of anything and convicted of it in His sight. You are alive now. You were dead. Now you're alive. You're made righteous. There is nothing in God's eyes that you are not entitled to because you are righteous. He wants you to be filled with the fruits of this righteousness. You know, it's a very good standing to have as being righteous before God. That's a good judgment to have placed upon you. He looks at your life. He sees you that you are a believer. You're made righteous in Christ. Now, He desires that you're filled with the fruits of it, which are by Jesus Christ. See, the fruits of righteousness are by Jesus Christ. They are not by your work, not what you have earned. They are by Him, unto the glory and praise of God. You know, when we receive these things, when we accept what God has made us in Christ, we can begin to have our lives filled with the fruits of this righteousness. Because that's what God desires. He desires for you to have what you are now entitled to. You're entitled to a more than abundant life. You're entitled to be blessed with all spiritual blessings. He's already done it. Now He wants to do it. He wants you to see it. He wants you to see your authority in Christ. That you are indeed representing God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. That you represent that. You have that authority. These things of God's righteousness that we have, the fruits of it that we are entitled to, we can receive, but we have to have a desire to receive them. It says in chapter 3, look at chapter 3. It compares these things of God's righteousness which we have as and the things that you can earn for yourself. In chapter 3, it talks about, you know, all His credentials, right? It says, though I may have confidence in the flesh, verse 4, you know, I could have some confidence in my flesh, in what I've accomplished in my life. If any other man thinketh, verse 4, that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I've got a pretty good flesh going for me. Not only in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. I was, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. That's the law. Do it the eighth day or don't even bother. Well, he had it done the eighth day. His folks were they were good Jews. Right? Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I knew the law and I did it. Concerning zeal, well, I persecuted the church. I was zealous for the things of Moses. I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. It was blameless. But that's not what filled him in his life. It didn't fulfill his life. And he knew it. Because when he came to know who Jesus Christ really was, and believed it, and got born again, and started to see what he had in Christ, all the rest of that stuff that he had under the law meant nothing to him. What he could do with his flesh meant nothing at all to him. He saw that the fruits of his own labor were limited, but the fruits of his righteousness in Christ were something to really pursue. Really, you know, pursue. And he says in verse 7, right? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Those things that used to be to my advantage. Being a Pharisee of Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, I was circumcised the eighth day, I had my certificate. Certificate of circumcision. Eighth day, let it be known to all those concerned that Saul, was circumcised the eighth day. And he stuck it up on his wall.
What?
I'm just saying, if you're listening.
Plaque, right?
Yeah. The engraved plaque. Those things he counted loss. He didn't care about that anymore. Because he saw that what he had in Christ was worth far more. Far more. Yea, doubtless, verse 8 says, and I count all things loss, all those things loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I want to know my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know Him, and I want to know what He's done for me, and I don't care about anything else. Now, He did live His life. He made saddles at times. He did what He had to do. He went fishing, you know, I'm sure, on occasion with some of the disciples, believers from town to town that He visited. I'm sure He did all of those things. He worked. Those things, they were secondary to him. The motivation in his heart was, I want to know my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He didn't, to read it that way, you'd think that, oh, these things were taken from him. He suffered a great loss. No. It just simply means he lost them because he counted them. But loss. They weren't worth anything to him anymore. And so he quit utilizing those things. He quit pursuing those things and started to pursue what he is in Christ. that I may win Christ or gain Christ and be found in Him. Be found in Him, verse 9 says, not having mine own righteousness. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what I want to be found in, of God. That's what I want to be. I want my life to be filled with the fruits of that righteousness, not the righteousness which is of the law. You know, the righteousness which is of the law doesn't give you the same qualifications as being righteous of God by faith. It says in verse 10, that I may know Him. You know, again, his whole heart was to know, to really know what it meant to be in Christ and righteous. In spite of his shortcomings, in spite of his failures, in spite of his flesh, he wanted to know this because he knew that there was a power. There was a power that the resurrection afforded him. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. What did Jesus Christ being raised from the dead mean to you? What did it mean to Paul? That's what he wanted to know. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. What does that mean to you? What does that mean for you? It means a great deal. Because there is the fellowship of His sufferings. That's what I want to know. I want to know what it means to partake in His sufferings. Not now, but then, when He went through it, being made conformable unto His death. When Jesus Christ suffered, you and I suffered with Him. It's called the identification that the believer has with Christ. God has identified you with Jesus Christ. As far as God's concerned, whatever Jesus Christ went through, whatever Jesus Christ did also. You went through also. And that's what he wanted to know. What does that really mean in my life now? If I was made conformable unto his death, if I was identified with him in his death, then what about his resurrection? I was in his resurrection also. That's what it says. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I might attain unto that, that you might see what it really means to walk in newness of life. You know? To walk in newness of life. You and I have that privilege. You know, that's what it says in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 6. Hold your finger here. Romans 6. And this is in light of this. It's look, we are made the righteousness of God by faith. That's what we're made. We have the righteousness of God by faith. So, chapter 6, verse 1. What do we say to this then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yeah, baby! Tap another keg! Let's go crazy. No. God forbid. No, doesn't say don't have a little fun. Okay? Let's not go to extremes here. But shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue to live like we used to live? That, you know, and how we used to live before we came to a knowledge of the truth, before we knew how simple it was to be saved, to get born again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Before we knew it was that simple. Somebody was telling us, no, you got to be at church every day. You got to be at Mass every Friday night. You got to do this. And even then, oh, you're not quite sure if you're going to make it. No, then we learned and we saw. So, okay, should we continue now to live the way we used to live? Before we knew God, before we knew His grace? No. Because it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're dead to it. We died with Christ. We are identified with Him. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? You know, and the word baptism there means to be immersed in it. You know, just like we were made conformable unto His death, we were identified with Him. We were completely in God's eyes when Jesus Christ went through what He went through. You went through it too. You were completely immersed in His life. That's all baptism means right there. People want to talk about baptism with water here. It doesn't talk about baptism with water. It's speaking about being immersed in Jesus Christ by the identification that God made in His heart, you and His Son. Baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, we want to walk in newness of life. We have a new thing available to us. And this is what we're to strive for. You know, what does it really mean to my life to be allowed to do that? To have the privilege to do that? It's back in Philippians, in chapter 3 again, verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained. You know, I know that when Jesus Christ died, I died with Him. I know that when He was buried, I was buried with Him. I know that when God raised Him from the dead, He raised me also. And I also know that when He ascended Him, He ascended us also. And when He sat Him down on His right hand, He sat you down there with Him. I know that that's true now. And I want to see what it means to my life now. And I haven't attained to it yet. Maybe I haven't really gotten a grip on it. And maybe I don't live that way and walk in newness of life 100% of the time, but that's what I strive for. That's what I want. I want to be filled with the fruits of my righteousness now. You know, and that's my whole motive. That's Paul, what he's saying. That's my whole motive in life. That's what I get up in the morning for, is to see that reality alive in my life. Verse 12, we'll finish reading. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, I pursue after it, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. You know, if I can just get my hands on what I've been grabbed for. You know, I've been apprehended of Christ, and now I want to apprehend what I've been apprehended for. I want to get my hands on it. I want to see it, man. I want to feel it. I want to smell it. I want to taste it, touch it every day of my life. Brethren, verse 13. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. The things that are behind. You know, the things of the law that I had to do to make me righteous. Those things are past. Now I reach forward to the things that I have in Christ. And that's what I want to get my hands on. Not the things that I used to have to earn for myself under the law, but the things that I have now because of Christ and God's grace. Those are the things that are before me. You know? That's what's available to me now. And so, I forget those things that are behind. I forget that stuff that I had to do to make me righteous under the law. I forget about that because it's no longer pertinent, it's no longer valid. Because I've already been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now I reach for that. Now I pursue after that. That's my goal now. That's what it says. I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. You know, I run swiftly after it. The mark, the goal. Right? That which I have my eyes on. You know, the Greek word skopos. You know, goal. The mark, the goal, the thing which I'm looking at. That's now my focus. That's what I'm pressing for. The prize, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward that goal for a prize. You know, it's like you get a prize. Not salvation. Salvation is not the prize. The prize is really seeing what it means to walk in newness of life. Really being filled with the fruits of your righteousness. That's the prize. It's knowing what it means to be a son or daughter of God right now. To have God show you things. To have God answer your prayers even before you ask them. To have God do for you the same types of things that He did for His only begotten Son. Those are the things that we're looking for now. We're no longer looked at by God as we were in the flesh. And because of that, God wants to just bless our lives. And that's the thing that we look... That's what we really have to hunger for. You know, it's like I said before, if we want to see this stuff, then it has to be in there as that inner motivating thing. You know, that this is what I want to see in my life. Oh, yeah. I want to have a good job. I want to do this. I want to do that. Yes, I want to do these things. But man, I want to know what it means, really, to be a righteous son of God. I want to see that in my life every day. And if we have that kind of motivation, it's exciting. It becomes real exciting. You know, to do the things that God's called us to do. To cleanse the leper. To heal the sick. To raise the dead. To harvest the field.
Freely you have received.
Yeah, freely again. We give with the Spirit. You know it's an incredible thing what we've been called to. It really is. But do we have that kind of hunger within the depth of our heart to see it? You know, alive in our lives. Just in my life. So, we look at that encouragement and we realize that, yes, I have been raised with Christ. I've been raised and now I can walk in newness of life. So do I pursue it? If you really want to pursue it, you've got to forget the things of the law because they no longer pertain. You know, that's the past. Now is the grace of God in Christ. And you are righteous, so we strive after that. We reach for that. We stretch forth ourselves and strive on. We strive on for that. And that should be our life. That should be our heart. And in doing that, there's great joy. Because then comes those times in your life when God opens a door for you to share something with someone and you're really ready. You're ready to share. You're ready to heal. You're ready to deliver. You're ready to give them what they desire. So, that's our walk. You know, that's our walk now. That's how we conduct ourselves. You know, we conduct ourselves as who we really are in Christ, walking in newness of life. So, that's just some of the things that were on my heart and mind for you guys this morning. So, let's pray. All right. Father, thanks for your blessings. Thanks for continuing to be there for us as we seek you out, as we seek to understand and know more and more every day about what you have made us in your Son. And that, Father, that can be our goal, our inner heart's desire, that we see those things and that we are filled with the fruits of our righteousness. Thank you, Father, for these things. Thank you for continuing to bless our lives as we move forward and as we do the things that we're responsible to do day by day, Father, that you're there for us and that you're teaching us each individually as we look to you and desire to do for you, to give you the glory. Thank you, Father, for these things. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ.